Scott Parkinson, of course, is at the Club for Growth. He keeps an eye on what's happening on Capitol Hill, also politically around the country. Scott, good to have you here.
Well, it's great to be back, Loman. Thanks for having me.
We have not really talked about the presidential race now for several weeks. Of course, we've had the Iowa caucuses, and we have had the New Hampshire primary. We're in a bit of a lull here awaiting the South Carolina primary, so it's a good time to just step back and take a look at developments over the last couple of weeks. One of the biggest, we haven't talked yet about the fact that Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has decided to suspend his presidential campaign and endorse Donald Trump. I'd be interested in your thoughts on the impact of the DeSantis move on the race.
Number one, I think that him dropping out prior to New Hampshire saved a little bit of face because while he finished second place narrowly in the Iowa caucuses, it wasn't looking good when it came to New Hampshire and South Carolina. And ultimately, he's going to return to Florida as a very, very powerful governor with a strong legislature and really be able to do good things back down there. So I think his endorsement of President Trump is one way that we can begin to unify the party. And we know that there's been a lot of harsh comments about various candidates from social media influencers to the candidates themselves. But when you have somebody drop out and immediately endorse the front runner, it does begin to heal the party. And I think that unity is so important because ultimately a Republican candidate is going to be facing Joe Biden. And those Biden policies have made American lives very, very difficult, from energy to the cost of groceries. And right now it's effectively a two-person race with Nikki Haley and Donald Trump both in the race. And the big question is, how long does she stay in? We've got South Carolina coming up. Will she drop out after South Carolina or maybe even before? We don't know the answer. We know that there's a lot of funding to continue to sort of have a opposition candidate to Donald Trump. But the reality is, in this instance, that the longer Nikki Haley is in, the less that we can spend on unifying the Republican Party. But I do think DeSantis having a big, big voice coming out and endorsing Trump, and then Trump retiring the nickname De Sanctimonious, is really, really important. So unity and leadership right now in the Republican Party are what's necessary to win in 2024.
If you look at the DeSantis campaign and really all the others who ran for president this year, Scott, their failure to really gain traction, is that a function of the fact that Donald Trump really is running for re-election almost as a de facto incumbent?
That's a great question, Loman. And the reality is, when you have a former president running for the nomination, he has a base of support, what we will describe as a floor, that was higher than anybody else's ceiling. And I think as President Trump faced the numerous indictments, it only strengthened the Make America Great Again coalition and his base of support, the people that felt like the justice system was screwing him over and coming after them. And Donald Trump has very much represented this forgotten, disconnected voter, the people that want to throw out all the career politicians. And I think that that message needs to be heard by not just Nikki Haley or Joe Biden, but all the senators that are running, all the U.S. representatives, governors, folks that think that they're going to take that step from city council to state representative to state senator and so on. The American people want a government that is representative of them and accountable to the people. And too often we have these career politicians that I think are governing like they are not accountable to anyone except for their massive donor base or special interest groups. And you see that, I think, with President Biden, with how far to the left his policies have become. You know, when he was a senator, he was not one of the most liberal senators. That's why you've got all these flip-flops on big, big positions that Trump and others continue to hold and dangle in front of his campaign. But the radical left is trying to change the fabric of America, and I think that begins with Joe Biden, Chuck Schumer, AOC, and this brand of progressivism that is ultimately advancing us towards socialism. So we need a big capitalist free market economic system agenda that's going to push back on that. And I also think that we need to remind people that system has created more wealth and prosperity than any other economic system in the history of the world.
Interestingly, the exit polls from both Iowa and New Hampshire, Scott, showed that the immigration crisis at the nation's southern border was the dominant issue. That, of course, along with the economic climate. And even Senator John Fetterman has been outspoken on needing to do something at the border. So this is rising rapidly as an issue. Do you see this as a particular strength for Donald Trump?
Absolutely. You know, right now there's this big negotiation between James Lankford from Oklahoma with Chuck Schumer and Joe Biden in the White House. And we know that over 300,000 people entered illegally across the southern border just in December alone. And we'll get those January numbers here, I imagine, very, very soon. And if you're not stopping the actual flow, then it's a real problem. There's been reports about the immigration negotiation that they still want to allow 5,000 people in every day before they actually start to enforce our border policies and end the flow of illegal aliens coming across the border. Well, 5,000 people a day equals 1.825 million illegal aliens every year. And that's just an unsustainable rate of illegal activity on the southern border. What's coming along with them? Are they trafficking children and women, these military-age men? What are they up to when they actually get to America? They're not coming over on a work visa to work in the agricultural community or something else and then overstaying their visas. These are folks that are coming across on the border illegally from day one. And when you break the rule of law, there needs to be border enforcement, I think, in retaliation to that. And as it seems that the negotiations are going on in the United States Senate, Mike Johnson and the House conservatives over there have said that that bill is dead on arrival. And, you know, then the senators say, well, you got to actually read the bill to understand what we're trying to accomplish here, but then they won't release the bill text. And so I think that it's so important for us to pump the brakes on any mass amnesty and legal status for the 10 million people that Joe Biden has allowed to come over here. But I will add that the illegal alien crisis is something that they are feeling the pinch on from the West Wing, and they want to accomplish something, even if it's a fake bill, because they want to say, well, we either would have done this through the Senate, but those darn House conservatives, they weren't interested in actually getting a solution on immigration policy. And I think that the manipulative propaganda coming out of the White House as it pertains to our southern border needs to be confronted by the legacy media, and we need to talk about the stories that are destroying our communities.
Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. Scott, tell us a little bit about the club.
Club for Growth is a membership organization based out of Washington, D.C. We're united in the idea of economic freedom and liberty and opportunity. If anybody wants to become a member, you can sign up for free at clubforgrowth.org.
Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. Scott, we'll check in with you next week. Thank you.
Thank you.